Well, if you're thankful for the love of Jesus Christ, say amen.
Amen.
I was thinking about how great God is. I sang this morning, and in that song, it was some lyrics to another song, "How Great Thou Art," and then sings, "My soul, my Father God, to me, how great thou art." And when you think about how great God is, you have to think how great I'm not. One of the greatest things of God is the fact that he could use someone like me, someone like you. I'm so thankful for that. Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 1 through 8. We've gotten through Stephen's message. Stephen has now been murdered, just catching up. Stephen, the first martyr, he was also one of the first deacons, and so we just ended chapter 7 with Stephen being martyred, went through his sermon, how that he brought the Sanhedrin to the history of Israel. And now we're looking in Acts chapter 8, and verse number 1, it says, "And Saul," and if you remember, Saul was the one holding the coats while they were throwing rocks at Stephen and murdering him. "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to the burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc for the church, entering into every house, nailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." I want you to notice three phrases in this passage of Scripture, six words in this passage of Scripture. As you look at them, you might think, well, they don't go together. Let's look at those. Number one, it says great persecution. And in verse 2, it says great lamentation. And in verse 8, it says great joy. Now, I'm going to talk about this thought, and I'm going to say this thought, and I don't want you to get nervous. I'll talk about predestination. Many of you laughed. Some of you probably don't know the seriousness behind the word predestination. When I talk about predestination, I want you to understand I am not Reformed. I am not Calvinist. But the word predestinate is in the Bible, and I'm not scared to preach on a biblical term. It's a wonderful term. And we'll see that this morning. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to preach your word. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts and tie this all together. Lord, what you've given to me to speak on, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. So the history of this portion of Scripture, the context of this portion of Scripture is Stephen has now been murdered, martyred, and now when that happened. Now, before then, they were beaten. Before then, they were threatened. But now the stakes are high. See, before preaching the gospel was about, I'm risking my health. I'm risking my popularity. Now, preaching the Word of God and worshiping Jesus Christ is about losing my life. There's a difference. How many would agree? between my health and my popularity to losing my life. Now that Stephen was murdered, these Pharisees and Sadducees, the high priest of that day, had the upper hand. Why was that? They made Stephen to look like anybody else who was preaching the gospel. This was what you two would turn into. You would be dead. You're going to lose your life. He was the martyr. But the person holding the coats received some confidence from this. You see, in verse number 1, it says that they faced great persecution. Look at verse number 3. And if as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. And we see there was, number 1, great persecution. You say, well, Pastor Creed, praise the Lord, there's no great persecution nowadays. I beg to differ. What are you talking about, Pastor Creed? I'm talking about 245 million Christians in the world experience high level of persecution for their choice of following Christ. That's in a year. Think about that. 245 million. Well, how about 1 in 9? 1 in 9 Christians worldwide experience. Now, I'm talking about high levels of persecution. I'm not talking about losing your friend. I'm talking about high levels of persecution, physical persecution. 4,136 Christians killed in a year for their faith. This is between the years 2017 and 2018. Killed in a year. 4,136 Christians believing on Jesus Christ were killed because they believed on Jesus Christ. 2,625 Christians detained without trial and arrested and sentenced to imprisonment. 1,266 churches, buildings, within the building, the gospel was being preached. The churches were demolished. The church buildings were demolished. 7 out of 9 in 7 of the countries of the World Watch list of top 10, the primary cause of persecution was Islamic oppression. That was from October 31st, 2017 to November 1st, 2018. Now, every month, there's 105 churches attacked, burned, vandalized each month. Every day, 11 Christians are killed for their faith. Every day, 11 Christians are killed because they believe on Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor Creed, I don't see it. It's not in the news. It's not going to be. But there are Christians, there are churches that are going under persecution. Let me tell you something. It's not far from America. They were threatened and continued to preach the gospel. They were beaten and thank God for the opportunity to suffer his sake. Then Stephen was murdered and martyred, and he was forgiving them. Think about this. Stephen is, the rocks are hitting him. He said he forgave them. That's God to forgive them. He was willing to give his life for Christ. And we may not see it, but it's here. Persecution. We need to stand for truth, whether persecution comes or not. We need to stand on the Word of God. John chapter 15, verse 18 says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own. If the world loves you, you got a problem. We're not here to draw the affection of the world. We're here to give the world God's love, Jesus Christ's love through Calvary. Give them the gospel. There's going to be a lot of people that do not like that. There's a lot of people right now that does not like what's going on here this morning at this church. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You will face persecution. Are you ready? In 1555, as part of her campaign to reestablish the Catholic Church in England, Queen Mary, also known as Bloody Mary, arranged for John Philpot, one of the leading Protestant ministers of the day, to be burned at the stake. When his death sentence was pronounced, Philpot said, "I am ready. God grant me strength and joyful resurrection. I'm ready. I'm ready." Philpot walked to the place of execution on his own, rather than having them to be drag him to that persecution. And when he reached it, he knelt down and kissed the stake at which he would be burned. He was not only ready to be killed and persecuted for the cause of Christ, he was excited about it. To give his life to Jesus Christ. And let me say, this man who was burned at the stake didn't wait for that moment to give his life to Christ. It was well before. It's well before. There's two young ladies, Joy and Lydia, were studying at a boarding school in the Chibok region of Nigeria. On the night of April 14, 2014, their school was attacked by a rogue Islamic extremist group in Nigeria whose goal was to stop Christianity and Western education in the country. The insurgents kidnapped Joy and Lydia both, along with several hundred other girls from the boarding school, loading them onto trucks at gunpoint. While the truck was driving off, Joy and Lydia and several other girls were able to jump off the back of the truck and ran through the bush, where they were picked up by a kind stranger and were driven back to their families in Chibok. With the help of a human rights group in Virginia, the Jubilee Campaign, Joy and Lydia and several other girls were able to come to the United States to finish high school and are now studying at different universities across America, including Southeastern University. The truth is, persecution is more prevalent and geographically dispersed than any other time in history. Approximately 250 million Christians worldwide experience high level of persecution. It is here. The church is being persecuted. What do we fear? Persecution or God? What do you fear? Persecution or God? Let's stand strong. Psalms 56:11 says, "In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." They face great persecution. Great persecution. Well, look also in verse number 2, great lamentation. Great lamentation. They were mourning. Stephen was gone. Stephen was gone. All of a sudden, Stephen was gone. He preached a great message, a great gospel message, and then all of a sudden, he was gone. I wonder what was going through their mind. Maybe that one time when they saw Stephen win someone to Christ, and they remembered that good moment of Stephen. Maybe it was the time that Stephen said kind word to them and encouraged them to keep serving Christ. Could it be that they thought about a time when Stephen sacrificially gave that gift to the church? And I know they all remembered when Stephen was elected as one of the deacons. What confidence that church had in Stephen, knowing that he was a man of faith, filled with the Holy Spirit. But now he was gone. Now he was gone. A man of faith, when they leave the ministry, many questions are asked. How are they ever going to be replaced? How can this church replace a man like Stephen? How can this happen? How can somebody be replaced like that? I mean, Stephen was full of faith and the Holy Spirit and power, and God used him. How could he be replaced? And as wonderful and godly a man or woman that has gone before us, God can call and replace anyone. Why? Because he's mighty. He's mighty. I remember when my father-in-law passed away. And almost 2,000, it may have been more, almost 2,000 people came and filled an auditorium. You say, how do you remember that? Because they told me I had to get up and say something, and I was nervous. And a thought that came to mind was, you can never fill the shoes of Mickey Austin, but that gap has to be filled. God used Mickey Austin in a unique way, but the gap is going to be filled with another Christian that God's going to use in a unique way. And God's filled gaps here, amen? And we love God for that. And we're thankful to God. Why did this happen to such a great man of God? Maybe that went through their mind. And God is the one and only perfect being. Death is no respecter of persons or ages. It could be today or in 40 years, but we will one day graduate to heaven. If you ask the martyr, most will tell you they are thankful for the opportunity to give their life for God. It was in 1555, same year as Philpott, but Dr. Nicholas Ridley was sentenced to be burned at the stake in England because of his witness for Christ. On that night before Ridley's execution, his brother offered to remain with him in the prison chamber to be of assistance and comfort. Nicholas Ridley declined the offer, saying, I intend, God willing, to go to bed and to sleep as quietly today as I ever did. As quietly today as I ever did. See, they had great lamentations over Stephen. It was time to go and bury Stephen. Now, lamentation, what does that mean, Pastor Creed? That was a mourning time. Now, literally, how they mourned, they would cry and beat their chest in honor of who had passed away. And it says that the devout men, the ones that served with Stephen, the ones that knew Stephen the most, took time for great lamentation. We've covered great lamentation. We've covered great persecution. Those aren't things that are positive, are they? These would not make good subjects for the Oprah Winfrey Show. They're not on the positive tone. You say, well, Pastor Creed, how do they get from those two, great persecution, great mourning and lamentation, to verse 8, which is great joy? Great joy. How in the world can they have great jubilation? People are searching for joy. 10 ways the world says that we can find joy is to be with others who make you smile. The Bible says minister to all. Give the gospel to all. To hold values. It needs to be God's values. Amen. Accept the good and the negative. Imagine the best. Do things that you love. How many of you, tomorrow morning's Monday, you're going to love doing something, right? Monday morning comes, do what you love. No, I got to go to work. Find purpose. Find God's purpose. Listen to your heart. Listen to God's heart. Push yourself, not others. Be an example. They say, be open to change. Be closed-minded. Open only to the Scriptures. Open only to the Scriptures. Bask in the simple pleasures. Bask in opportunities to spread the gospel. They had great jubilation in the town of Samaria. There was a sacrifice given for the city of Samaria. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, he endured the cross. Who did he do that for? For Samaria. And Paul found joy in the fruit of obedience, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. For what is your hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? Verse 20, for ye are our glory and joy. We have been under the great persecution. They've been under great persecution in a city. And with great persecution, they spread abroad. Now we're getting to the last point where we're tying all these together. You say, Pastor Creed, you're going everywhere. What's going on here? Great persecution, great lamentations, great jubilation. How they get from persecution to lamentation to jubilation. How they get to that joy. by obeying the Great Commission. By obeying the Great Commission. We have great persecution in our world. No doubt there's great mourning, and that's part of life and great lamentation. But may that never drive us away from the Great Commission that God has given to us. Now let's go through this story. Stephen dies. Persecution level just went up. What happened to the church? We saw that there was over 8,000 people saved. That'd be a great VBS, wouldn't it? 8,000 people saved. Amen? Praise God. And then the persecution came. And then that local church scattered. They scattered. Now the Bible says that it scattered to different areas of Judea and Samaria. And guess where God sent Philip? Let's look at it. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Amen. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Wow. So they were scattered everywhere. Let me ask you something. How many churches were in Jerusalem? How many churches were in Israel? How many churches were in the world at that time? One. So when they were scattered everywhere, watch this, where were they going to church? Amen. Now there's a need for a church plant in Samaria. Now what did Acts chapter 1 verse 8 say? But ye shall receive power. Right? You're going to be witnesses where? Jerusalem? Check. Where else? Judea? Samaria. Oh, here we are. We've arrived at Samaria. So Pastor, what was that word at the beginning? Predestination. What does that mean, Pastor Creed? That does not mean that God looked down on Johnny and said, Johnny, I am choosing you to be saved. Okay, that's not what that means. God in his foreknowledge, and we know that God knows all, has a will for Johnny. We call it God's will. We not only want to do God's will, but we want to do God's will God's way. And God has chosen Johnny knowing that Johnny would choose him. And has directed a path for Johnny to go down. Amen? How many of you are excited that Johnny's here this morning at Temple Baptist Church? I'm glad God's path led you here. But think about these Christians. Great persecution. God, what's going on? Predestination. That's my path. Great lamentations. Lord, what's going on? This is horrible. Why do we have to go through this? Great, this is predestination. This is my will. This is my way. Just go through it. It's for good. And then they thought, there's people in Samaria. Let's go start a church. Well, what's that? That's exactly what all those boards are back there. Going abroad. The Great Commission. Let's plant churches. Why? Because God's predestined us to do so. God's put you in this church, placed you at Temple Baptist Church for such a time as this, for the people of Asheville and for the people all over the world to be involved in the Great Commission. Why, Pastor Creed? Because without Great Commission, you have no joy. But when we obey the Great Commission, in that city, and in the city of Asheville, and in cities all over this world, when we obey the Great Commission, it's their only hope for true joy. Only hope for true joy. So the question I have is, are you obeying the Great Commission? Now, Pastor Creed, what does that mean, the Great Commission? You know, there are 41.6% of the world that is just unreached. 41.6% of the world is unreached. Did you know that only 7% are minimally reached and 10.5% are superficially reached? What does that mean, superficially reached? That means that's not the gospel. It's a form of religion. That means over 50% of the world does not know that Jesus loves them and died for them. Here's what that means. That means 100% of Temple Baptist Church needs to be involved in the Great Commission. Did you hear me? And I want to make it very clear. And I don't care if you get mad at me. It's okay. I'll take it. If you're not involved in the Great Commission, you are in sin. You are in disobedience to God. You say, what does that mean? I'm a witness where I am, and I'm involved in missions, worldwide evangelism. Temple Baptist Church needs to be all in the Great Commission. Why? Because I want Asheville to have great joy. I want to see a difference in this city. And I want to see a difference in this world. And all we need is one church to say we are all in. We're all in on this Great Commission. God's put you here not to sit, not to soak, but to serve.